When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, welcome to the Snooker Scene Podcast. I'm Dave Hendon. The big snooker news of the last week, of course, is the return of the King of the Crucible. Stephen Hendry, 7 times world champion, has accepted a 2-year wildcard, a discretionary wildcard from World Snooker to come back and play on the tour. He retired in 2012. We thought we'd seen the last of him on the Pro Tour. Of course, he wasn't happy with his game back then, although he did make that maximum at the World Championship that year, has been doing other things, played in a few Legends and Seniors tournaments, but he's back. And it's created quite a buzz, certainly on social media. A lot of people excited to see him. We're not quite sure exactly when he's going to be back playing. He's talking about potentially the UK Championship. Now, last week when all this happened, Eurosport asked me to interview Stephen, and I thought you might like to hear the audio of that, which is what this podcast is going to be. You'll hear from it. He's quite excited to be coming back, although I think one thing he might want to do is study exactly how it all works now, because he's talking about, you know, not wanting to go to Barnsley for qualifiers. Well, that's not a thing right now. Pretty much all the events will be in Milton Keynes, and most of them will be every player coming in from the start, which is, he said, is what he prefers. That's why he's targeting the UK Championship. Of course, there is the Scottish Open as well, which is played for the Stephen Hendry Trophy, so surely he will be in that one as well. Time will tell. Of course, Eurosport show 19 tournaments, and Eurosport.com have written up the interview, and there's lots of other snooker features you can watch on there. The first tournament on Eurosport this season will be the European Masters in just a couple of weeks' time. Anyway, Stephen Hendry is back. Who thought we would see this day? And this is what he had to say last week. Stephen, welcome back, first of all. How did this come about? Were you sort of offered the card out of the blue?
I think, as you know, I've been working a bit with Stephen Feeney. I did about 8 to 10 sessions with him pre-lockdown, and things were going really well. I started to hit the ball properly, and he was telling me where I was going wrong and things like that. And then obviously lockdown happened and I didn't play for 4 months. Then when it was possible, we had one session, and then obviously I had to work the World Championship for 17 days. So I didn't really practice. I knew the World Seniors was coming up, and we had a couple of sessions a couple of days before that, and I played better. Still not. I mean, I'm never happy with how I play, but my game, you know, I started to hit the ball fine. And Steve and I, we talked about it. What's, you know, whether the possibility of playing in some events, but it only came to a head when I played golf with Barry. Mark Williams and I went to Essex to play golf with Steve and Barry last week. And I was going to tentatively say to Barry, what were the chances, and possibly next year. But he approached me and said, what do you think? Well, we've given one to Ken, and obviously Jimmy. You know, what do you think? We've seen you playing a bit better. And I said, yes, to be honest, I've been thinking about it, but yeah, maybe not yet. He said, well, we need to know in like 2 days' time because we need to announce it. The season start. And I went, oh, okay. I wasn't prepared for it to happen that quickly. But then I thought, why not? And look, it's not a full comeback. I think, you know, I need to get, the reason I'm not doing a lot of press today is I'm trying to calm down the expectations. You know, I'm not going to play Jimmy and Ken playing every event. I'll pick and choose them when I'm ready, when I feel I'm ready. and that's basically it, really. I don't want to build up too much that I'm going to be coming back pressing 6-8 hours a day and playing in every event, because that's not happening.
It sounds like you didn't have long to make up your mind, but how hard or how easy a decision was it in the end to actually take to make the step?
Yeah, typical ruthless Barry. Yeah, let me know tonight, he said, after playing golf. I guess it was quite an easy decision. Basically, from what I just said, I knew I wasn't going to come back full time and play in every event, going playing qualifiers every week and what have you. I knew it was always going to be a situation of picking and choosing events. I don't think it's really sunk in yet that you know, just, I mean, looking at all the press today, the back pages of papers, I think the last time I made a back page of the paper when I won my 7th world title. I mean, it's gone a bit mental, actually. But I just want to try and play down expectation for my own benefit as well as anyone else's, because I don't want to turn up at a tournament and people think, oh, this is a re-coming of Stephen Hendry, he's going to win an 8th world. I'm getting all that, and it's just nonsense at the moment. Basically, I don't want to come back and try and enjoy playing in the match arena again.
Have you decided yet then what you are going to play in? What do you think your first tournament will be?
Nothing set in stone yet. I'm tentatively possibly looking at the UK. Because that's obviously everyone starts at the venue and everyone plays at the same venue from start to finish. I'm not that keen on going to wherever they do the qualifying, Barnsley, wherever, and qualifying for events that are not there. So I'll tend to probably play, if I am going to play, events that I just start at the same place as everyone else and just continue through. Tentatively looking at the UK, but it's, as I say, it's not set in stone. It all depends on how, I mean, obviously there's entry dates that have to be adhered to, but it depends on how I feel on the table myself.
You said you're not targeting an 8th world title, but what are your sort of aims and goals coming back? Because you don't want to disgrace yourself, obviously.
No, absolutely not. I mean, there's no point coming back and embarrassing myself and getting beat. I mean, it could happen, but that's not the aim to do. I'm not just doing it for a publicity stunt or anything like that. It's, Stephen Feeney said when I first got to go with him, he says, what do you want from this? And I said, basically, I just want to enjoy playing snooker again. I played in some seniors events and it was just torture. I mean, I was just struggling to beat everyone. I mean, it was just horrible. I couldn't hit the ball properly. I basically know all the shots. I just couldn't play them, even simple shots. So I said, I just want to enjoy playing again. Snooker is all I know. It's what I'm best at. And I just, even if it's just in practice or an exhibition, I want to enjoy playing. So that's what I want to get out of this as well. I want to go, if I go out in an arena and, you know, go out there, I just want to feel that I'm enjoying it. I'm playing shots that I know I can play.
What difference do you think Steve Feeney's made and Sightwriter's made to your game?
I don't fully understand it all yet. As I said to him, it says I can pop balls, but I have no idea how they work. It was quite complicated to take in. It's a whole different way of sighting. I mean, traditionally, when I started, I used my right leg to get on the line of the shot. Where now I'm lining it up from the middle, so I'm basically think I'm hitting everything thick. So it's getting used to all that, and there's still shots that catch me out. Even the seniors, easy shots are catching me out more than my long game is pretty good. It's about just getting that aim. I mean, the brutal thing about it, it says when you were young and started, you were very thin and slim, so you could get the cue dropping online. Now, as we get older, I don't know what he was meaning by this, but your bodies get a little bit wider. So you're no longer getting down to the shot online just because your whole body shape and your stance has changed. So it's a whole new way of looking at it. And basically what he says was when I talked about yips in my book and not being able to go through the ball properly, decelerating, basically because I wasn't online. As I said, I'm excited about how it's going. But just not making any silly predictions.
I guess so. To some extent, you'll have to go back to the grind of practice, which is, I mean, you probably miss competing, maybe not miss practice as much, but, you know, to not sort of maybe embarrass yourself, you're going to have to put the work in, aren't you? Are you prepared to do that?
I'm prepared to a certain extent. I'm not going to go back to playing 6 hours a day. I just couldn't do that. Different if I'm playing someone, if I go and have a practice session with someone, you play longer. But in terms of solo practice, I think a couple of hours I'll do. But I'll have to do that regularly, you're right. I can't just, the week before an event, all of a sudden start playing, because that's what I've been doing at seniors events and I just haven't been able to compete. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to have to start pretty soon. I'm going to have to start getting back to the table on a regular basis.
8 years since you retired, how much have you missed being out there, particularly obviously in the big tournaments, the World Championship, has it been difficult? Because you've been turning up as a commentator, but not playing. Has it been hard to watch everyone else taking away the trophies?
I still miss the buzz of being in an arena. You know, when you're standing out there at the Crucible or wherever on final night, you know, talking to Hazel or whoever it is, and the place is absolutely jumping. You know, I'll still want a cue in my hand, not a microphone. And it's one of the reasons I think that I've accepted this wild card is to, even if it's just once, experience what it's like to be out there. Obviously, times are different now. There's no fans to speak of. And I mean, playing in the World Series, I think Rob asked me, "What do you think the Crucible empty?" And I thought, it's just not the Crucible. It's just a big empty room. It just didn't seem to me to be the Crucible. So, yeah, to get out there again and possibly play a match against one of the best players in a full arena, if a win or lose, whatever, but just to be out there experiencing that again would be worth coming back just for that.
Looking back, you may have retired too early. I know you obviously had the stuff going on in China, which took a lot of your time, but have you thought since then, maybe I should have carried on?
I think if it was the situation now than it was then, I possibly would have carried on, because then you had to play in everything. You couldn't, you couldn't miss any tournaments. Whereas now you can pick and choose. Obviously, if you're planning on climbing up the rankings, you need to play in more events than not, because you want the money to go up to climb the rankings. Ranking doesn't bother me this situation now, this comeback. I just want to play events, try and enjoy them and see what happens. But if the situation existed now that is then, I'd be a similar situation to Ronnie, I think. I wouldn't play in everything.
But those of us who covered your career, Stephen, we know that, you weren't like Steve Davis who enjoyed playing. You enjoyed winning, didn't you? To what extent do you think you maybe will stop enjoying it if the results don't come?
I'll probably leave as quickly as I've joined. But, that side of the thing will be hard, because there's no doubt I will lose more matches than I win, certainly in the beginning. And as I say, I have no expectations at all. And that will be the hard thing for me, because even in the seniors, it's hard. I've sort of, balanced against losing seniors, knowing that I haven't prepared. But if I do prepare to some extent for this and still play terrible and kind of embarrass myself or feel like I've embarrassed myself, it'll be hard to take.
What do you think about, you're a commentator now, what do you think about the state of the game at the top level? Has it moved on that much since you stopped playing, do you think?
I'm not going to go into arms and legs in that debate, but I've always thought it's not what people make out to. People rave about how high the standards are, and I've always, I think down the rankings, I think the standard has generally improved, because I think looking back to certainly the early 90s, the World Championship, you'd have two or three really comfortable rounds before you played anyone, that you thought could beat. Thought it could beat me. Whereas now I think generally first round matches are a lot tougher now, first, second round matches, so that the strength and depth is definitely bigger. But I genuinely don't think there's many of the top players doing anything that I wasn't doing at my peak. I genuinely believe that. I think Ronnie on his day is just an incredible player, and Judd Trump on his day is as well. These two have possibly taken it a little bit higher, but the rest of them, I don't think there's anyone doing anything that I wasn't doing.
How close do you think you can get to that standard now?
Oh God, I have no idea, David. I have no idea. I wish I did. There was a couple of frames in the seniors where I felt really good. I can't remember. I think it was Nigel and I missed on 88. There was three reds left. I was devastated not to do the total clearance. I started to feel really good in the balls, and that's for me. Scoring's my thing. If I can't score, then I won't beat anybody. There's a couple of sort of frames where I felt relaxed. Composure is the thing I need to get back, because that's what beat me against Jimmy in the semi-final. I had no composure whatsoever, so that's what I need to get back.
Mm. Some people have said, obviously, Ronnie O'Sullivan has taken a few of your records that you set and look like would last for a long time. You've still got the 7 world titles because he's now on 6. Has that motivated you at all, the fact that he's sort of nipping at your heels a little bit?
No, not at all. Not at all. That's got nothing to do with it. I've no inclinations or thinking that I'm going to come back and stop him winning so many titles. That's not in the decision making at all. It's purely about missing the buzz of being in an arena playing, seeing what I can do if I can play, start playing anywhere near the way I could, and that's basically it, really.
been a lot of comment about this, as you'll be aware, of course, on social media. And one or two people have said, we're really happy he's coming back, but we're worried maybe he won't enjoy it, or maybe he's sort of almost his legacy will be tarnished. That seems unlikely because, you know, you've won so many things in the game. But was that a slight concern for you as well? Because comebacks in sports don't always work, do they?
Yeah, and I think that's the reason why I'm trying to keep it low key and try and not, you know, come out all guns blazing, like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I've got no expectations at all. You know, we just literally see what happens. And I think my sort of legacy in the game will stand. There'll be people who, if I play badly, will be disappointed by it and will think I shouldn't have done it. But it's just one of them things I felt, you know, I should do. And as I said, you know, I mean, I don't know what events I'll play in. It depends on how I feel on the practice table, how I feel my game is, how strong it is. Barry Warmey says, if you don't play in a single event of 2 years, you won't get another one. So if I want to play, I've got to, you know, I need to play in something. But again, if I feel I'm going to embarrass myself, I won't play.
There seems to be a lot of affection towards you, Stephen. It's different to the days when you were sort of booed
very
when
strange.
You beat Jimmy Wyatt. But that just shows you, I guess, you know, your longevity in the sport. It must be quite heartening that there's been so many messages from people.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. And I'm you know, genuinely touched by some of the messages on Twitter. I mean, you know, Twitter's always going to be one or two that are not. But genuinely, everyone's been, you know, really, you know, the messages this morning, oh, good luck, you know, it's brilliant to see you back and all that sort of thing. And yeah, I mean, it is. I'm chuffed to bits about the response it's had.
Mm. I was reading your book actually only last week, Me and the Table, and the title
only
is
last week.
Well, I've been busy these last couple of years.
Over a year, David.
I've been very busy with snooker, but the title is important, isn't it? Because you actually say in the book that the table is essentially where you sort of feel the most comfortable. And I guess although you've been around snooker these last 8 years, you've not been playing full time. It must have been difficult to sort of try and define yourself almost as something else.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I've had my job as sort of global ambassador of Chinese 8-ball pool, but it's not the same as being world champion at snooker and being on a snooker tour. So yeah, you kind of think, you know, that you look at people, you know, winning all these titles and being out there playing, you kind of think that's, you know, that should be me. Although I retired, so it shouldn't be me because I've retired. But yeah, you kind of still think you're a snooker player. I kind of still get jealous when they're out there playing well, thinking I could be there and kind of thing. But I suppose in people in every sport feel this, you've got to come to terms with when the career ends and you do something else. But excuse me, certainly commentating and punditry, although it's still involved in a sport that I love and it's all I know, it's not the same as playing.
That's the thing, you know, you weren't just a player, you were the most successful player ever. So it must have been hard to get that buzz back from just ordinary life, I guess.
Well, you just can't. You can't. And it's you know, it's not the same. And it's sometimes you wake up and you think it's serious as the same words like depressing, because that's obviously means a lot more to other people. But as a sportsman, when that's been your whole life since you were 13, 14, to have that buzz and to all of a sudden wake up in the morning and it's not there anymore, it's quite a hard thing to come to terms with.
Mm. You're still known, of course, as the king of the Crucible. I'm guessing that's one tournament you will be playing. You'll have to qualify. But what would it mean? What would it mean to be back, you know, in the final stages again?
I mean, to walk down the stairs there and with a cue in my hand, if it was packed again, would be. I mean, that would just be unbelievable. It's obviously a target in the future. There's no doubt about it. That's the one that I'm you know, almost definitely going to play in. Listen, if I get through four qualifying rounds, it's going to be tough enough. But yeah, just to walk down those stairs and you know, nod your head to both sides of the arena and go to whatever table you're on, that would be incredible.
How exciting is it to be coming back? It's sort of almost like going back to school in a way, isn't it? You're going back to where it all started for you when you were a teenager.
Yeah, it's as I say, I don't think it's quite sunk in yet. I don't think it will do until I start, you know, practicing again and you know, I get an email that the entry forms are due or whatever like that. I think that's when I'll finally hit home. I mean, I've already had one already for the, I think it's the European Open or something like that, which I'm not playing in. But yeah, I think packing your suitcase, packing your stuff to go to a tour, I think it'll definitely hit home. But yeah, the moment is kind of surreal.
And what do you think, maybe you can't answer this, but what do you think the other players will feel seeing you again? Because a lot of them were quite happy you retired. They saw the back of you. Now you're back again.
I don't think... A few of them have commented on my seniors' performances, and I don't think they'll be quaking in the boots just yet.
So if we sort of... How would you sort of define a successful return? Would it be, okay, I've won a few matches, I've played well, or is it actually I want to go deep in these events?
I think to start with, winning a few matches and playing well, I think competing with in a match, not being completely, getting in and scoring him. And I'd like to, make a few centuries and just play good snooker, I think. I mean, if I play good snooker anywhere near the way I used to play, then I will go deep in tournaments. But that's a big if.
And what difference did it make playing that seniors at the Crucible? It wasn't any old venue. It was the most famous venue in snooker. I know there was no crowd. Mm. You did play some good stuff. Obviously, you had a meeting with Jimmy and the semis. They must have brought back all the memories. Was that also a factor, you think, having that little taste of playing there in the seniors tournament?
Yeah, but playing a bit better as well, hitting the ball properly and a lot of the shots, scoring a bit heavier. I think I had a few 60s and 70s and a couple of 80s in my three matches, so that felt good. I'm not going to say the seniors is the same standard as the main tour. Like, people will say that, oh, yeah, you're getting 10 chances a frame. It's not the same. And when you start coming up against the proper tour players, you're going to get less chances, so you've got to be sharper. It was just the fact that I basically just started to hit the ball better. Simple as that. And I thought, where could this go?
Are you planning to play any safety shots at all, or is it going to be the old Stephen Hendry attacking mode?
funny enough, I had a message from Dennis Taylor this morning congratulating me, and then he said he commentated on the match with Jimmy. He said, you're going to have to play a more safety game. He says, you made it too easy for Jimmy. You're going for everything. But because I played quite good safety in my match with Nigel Bond in my second match, but for some reason, I thought I had to attack Jimmy. It didn't work. I mean, none of us were really that good. I know Jimmy would have won 30, but we were both making a lot of mistakes. All parts of my game are going to have to be in good order to compete, even in the early rounds, never mind getting to later in the tournament. Because, I'm going to be coming at the bottom, right? So I presume I'll be getting tough draws straight away in these tournaments. I could get up against Ronnie in the first round, you know what I mean? So, that's quite a scary thought, actually.
But I guess that's where you want to be, isn't it? Centre stage against a top player, testing yourself. That's where you've kind of lived for decades, really.
Yeah. If you did get drawn, obviously you'd be put on the main table, which would be, I don't know. It's impossible to say how I'd cope with that until it happens.
Well, Stephen, we're looking forward to seeing you again. Many of us thought we wouldn't see this day, but we're all very happy you're coming back. All the best. I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks very much, David. Cheers.
Thank you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.